This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Power Talk, 9 a.m. to noon.
Indeed, you are listening to Power Talk with myself and Nhlanhla Sihume. And today, as mentioned, it is a significant day as we witness the first sitting of the National Assembly following the 2024 elections, really setting the stage for the potential formation of a government of national unity. And in light of these developments, we turn our attention to the crucial role of civil society organizations, which have long been champions of good governance, transparency, and advocacy for the needs of ordinary citizens in this country. And joining us today are two esteemed guests. That's Matakanye Matakanye, who is the General Secretary of the National Association of School Governing Bodies. Also joining us for this conversation is Sibusi Gode, who is the leader of Abahlali Basemjondolo, the movement advocating for the rights of shack dwellers. And they will share their insights on, call it, the role of civil society in this new political era, but also giving us insight of their expectations for this seventh administration. Pleasure to have you both on the program this morning. Sbu, I'll start with you. So Abahlali Basemjondolo has been at the forefront of advocating for the rights of shack dwellers. How do you see the role of your organization really evolving in the context of a potential government of national unity?
Well, thank you so much, and good morning to you and to your listeners. And I must say that Abahlali Basemjondolo are very happy about what we are about to see, but because it is and it is going to be the reflection of the will of the people of South Africa in particular. But particularly what makes us happy is that at least the majority of the ruling party has now been reduced, allowing broader South Africans and of course within civil society and grassroots organizations like Abahlali have so much to play. So we see our role as really being able to guide the government, but also be able to hold government accountable. The government has to be responsive to the needs of the people of South Africa. So we expect the politicians not to assume what the people want. So our role will basically be telling, instructing, guiding, and helping, of course, the government of national unity to the immediate needs of the people of South Africa. So we hope that they can recognize the role of civil society, social movement, and grassroots democratic formation in this particular seventh administration, because for a very long time, communities and grassroots formations have been ignored for far too long. And we are hoping that at least by now, they will be able to listen and respond accordingly.
Ntate Matakanye, civil society has played a crucial role in really holding the government accountable. In your view, how has the role of civil society in South Africa evolved over the years?
Good morning, Nhlanhla, and your listeners, as well as Boo. We just to reiterate what Sbu has said, that we also welcome the will of the people of South Africa to show that South Africa belongs to all who live in it. Then it shows through the outcome of the elections that were just conducted a few days back. Now, having said that, is that the role that we are going to play is the role that we have been playing for all these years, that we want a quality education. And that's the first need that we want to see, because we have been advocating for all these years that we want quality education for all. Particularly, we want this government to really concentrate on the working class schools, on the township, the poorest of the poor, deep rurals. I think you understand that they still think that quality education is for those, and for those I mean the as South Africans are categorizing classes.
Mm.
It belongs to them. It does not belong to those. It belongs to them as well. And we want to see this government ensuring that now those poorest of the poor, the rural, the deep rural, brought on the level of everybody in South Africa, because we are saying the quality education is for all. And we want continuity. Where it is now, continuity, order, and stability. We want the workers, the labor peace, and that will be respecting the right of the workers. Because if really the right of the workers are not going to be respected, we will see instability in this country, demanding marches and all those things. So the manner in which it is now, we can see that now there is stability. We still want that stability. No disruption to CAPS. I think CAPS is going there. Curriculum Assessment Policy Statement. It is going there because it has produced the number of different school SOS. We see the SOS now, a school of specialization, strengthening the roles and responsibility of parents through school governing bodies. And the corruption must be stopped in education. And what this government to seriously concentrate on stopping corruption in education. Because through corruption and everything, we can see that education does not achieve what it intends: knowledge, values, attitude, and skills. But as I said, these schools, the full service, I think they must build as many full service as possible and concentrate on the language. The language must be brought on top. Inclusive education, it must not be disrupted. Where it is, these all these policies that talk to the language, that talk to the inclusive education, that talk to SOS, that talk to full service schools, we must see that promoted so that now, within 5 years, then we must achieve what we have been envisaging, quality education for all.
Mr. Zikode, how can civil society organizations, just like Abahlali baseMjondolo, effectively collaborate with the government bodies to ensure that the needs of the most vulnerable communities are actually met?
What Abahlali has been struggling for the past 19 years, to really help the government to see what they cannot see on the ground. So we have always opened we have shown our willingness to actually work with government bodies and different institutions of government, because the idea, obviously, is to help and allow government to do what it's supposed to do, but of course with the support of communities and broader civil society. So we think that our role really is not to fold arms and expect government to deliver. And we are very clear that we would not want a government that will deliver for us. We want the government that will deliver with us so that we can work together. And in that process, the government is able to transfer skills, it is able to empower communities. So I think this is what has been missing all along, because we are working with communities. We are closer on the ground. We are ears and eyes, you know, of the communities, and government should take advantage of that. I think there's a lot of untapped skills, human resources that we have in communities to enable this government to achieve the will of the people. So we have prepared ourselves, we have geared ourselves for a very long time to put forward the ideas that we have always had that would actually be able to deliver to the people's demands. As you would understand, that Abahlali's main call right now is the immediate release of well-located land for decent housing. And then we are saying to government, you know, all the informal settlements that are still without access to basic services such as water, sanitation, electricity, road access, waste collection, and so on, it's high time that they deliver. We understand that housing cannot be delivered overnight, but we are saying no person, no human being can actually live without these fundamental rights. That is why we are saying, while people wait for decent housing, provide interim services, because these are human beings. Water needs cannot be postponed. Provision of basic services cannot be postponed. So we are prepared to help government, but also to give some data and all the information that is required to immediately deliver to these services. And of course, where we make calls of corruption, because this is what we have seen, which has always fallen into deaf ears, we are hoping that the government of of national unity would actually be responding to that, so that corruption that has really made sure that service delivery does not go to communities can now be addressed. So our role really would be to help government to fast track, but to empower communities, because we have a much more role to play other than to shout and make noise to government.
Right.
There is already a lot of work that is being done by communities on the ground that needs to be supported, that needs to be recognized. For instance, we have built communes. Communities are now taking charge of their life through, building community gardens, some schools. We are running our own, crutches through popular education and so on, which empowers the nation. And we want the government to come and play its part, because we are not just saying they must do, but we are already doing something, whether in terms of the agri-ecology, whether in terms of the daily livelihood. But most importantly, what is agent, obviously, is the creation of jobs. It's very devastating. It is very disappointing that people continue to live in deep poverty. So this is not a democracy we have envisioned. So we are hoping that this particular government will prioritize creation of jobs, so that we are not just a welfare state. We do not want to live on handout. We have energy to work. We want to work. But what we do when there are no efforts, enough efforts to create these jobs, so that our communities can enjoy the hard-won democracy.
A quick reminder to our power listeners that in light of these developments that we are seeing play out in the National Assembly, we are turning our attention this morning to the crucial role of civil society organizations, which have long been champions of good governance, transparency, and advocacy for the needs of ordinary citizens and the most vulnerable as well. And today we are very excited to have two esteemed guests. That's Matakanye Matakanye, who's the General Secretary of the National Association of School Governing Bodies. And as you heard a short while ago, Zigode, leader of Abahlali Basemjondo. A lot of water. We continue with our conversation in a short while.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, this is a Power Talk, still in discussion with the Matakanye Matakanye from the General Secretary of the National Association of School Governing Bodies, as well as Sbu Zikote, who's the leader of Abahlali Basemjondolo. Let me take one or two calls from you, the Power Listener, to add to this conversation as well. We are on 0861 987 000. That's where Soli in Leondale joins us this morning. Soli, what's on your mind?
Hi, Barati, how are you?
It's in Tlantla, not
Brati. Oh, in Tlantla. Go ahead. Okay, man, sorry. Sure. And your guests. Yeah, man, I just want to say this, that the existence of these two organizations, it is the highlighter that the politicians are the liars. From time to time, you'll hear that they hold Izimbizo, and then before the elections, they will tell you that they go to the communities to hear in the first hand, what are the needs of the community?
Yeah.
With the hope that when they take over government, and then they will attend to those needs. But now, the absence of attending to those needs, and then it leads to the establishment of these two organizations, that is Abahlali Basemjondolo, and the other one that is advocating for education. And then attending to this one of Abahlali Basemjondolo, if the government was delivering, especially at the rate that it did when it started around 1994 on housing and other developments, and then it will reduce the need for the existence of Abahlali Basemjondolo. But because of from time to time you hear that there is a budget that is returned to Treasury because of it was not used for housing and other developmental projects. And then we are sitting with this situation now. So now with this new government, I'm urging whoever that is listening that when they go in there, let them forget about the comfort that they've created themselves, but let them truly serve the communities. And on the issue of education, you see this thing of quantalizing education to say that you've got quantile 1, 2, and so on. It exposes the fear of the politician to tackle head on the issue of disparities of education, that we've got those who are coming from the old suburbs that they've got good education, and then on the other hand you give the poor quality education and then you name it another quantile. You can't do that. We must have one education in this country. Thank you, and Tanda.
Thank you so much, Soli in Leondale. And maybe let's speak to that, Ntate Matakane. Soli raising a number of issues when it comes to his expectations, and also observing or giving a reflection on the role of civil society organizations. But with the prospect of a government of national unity on the horizon, what would you say are some of the key areas where civil society can have the most impact in really ensuring good governance and transparency? And what specific expectations do you have for the 7th administration? You've already highlighted what you expect insofar as education is concerned. But let's speak more broadly to this issue. Mr. Matakane, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, let me repeat that. I'm saying with the prospect of a government of national unity on the horizon, like we've mentioned, maybe highlight again some of the key areas where civil society can have the most impact in really ensuring good governance and transparency, as what Soli has alluded to.
Yeah, we are saying the overall, the existence of National Association of School Governing Body is based on advocating for quality education for all. Now, Soli indicate that now there's question of the quintiles, quintile 1, quintile 2, quintile 3. However, that I believe it is brought by the fact that in the past, quality education was generally looked at the former Model C schools, and hence you found that now the government then concentrated on quintalizing schools 1, 2, 3. No fees. I mean, you know, sorry, where do we come from?
Yeah.
It was trying to address the history of our past by quintalizing those schools. Now, but as long as quintalizing, as long as independent and all those things, but if the key objective is to address the quality education, so that at the end of the day, quality education must be for all the children in our country. We really do not care whether it is quintalized or what, and but as long as the key is to ensure that now all those children in the deep rural, the rural, the deep rural, the working class, the township schools are brought on top of the apex so that they are equal. It must not be when a child who attended schools in the deep rural, when he goes or she goes to university, she's surprised whether she's in South Africa or she is in America, or whilst she's in her or his own country in South Africa, because she will sit lighting toilets and all those things, and the classes and all those things, laboratories,
It seems we have lost Mr. Matakane. His line not the best there. Maybe let's go back to our guest Sbu Zikode from Abatlali Basemjondolo. Sbu, we have run out of time for this conversation, but I want to get a sense from you that looking ahead, what long-term vision do you have for Abatlali Basemjondolo and the communities that you represent in the context of South Africa's evolving political landscape?
a South Africa without sheikhs, a South Africa without homelessness, South Africa without poverty. It is an insult, it is a disgrace that 30 years down to our democratic dispensation, we are still living in this situation. So we are hoping that the government that is about to kick in now can actually deliver and make sure that we reduce the inequalities that continue to terrorize our communities, so that we are a community that is working to build this country, to make sure that poverty, inequality, as well as high rate of unemployment can actually be reduced.
Similarly, Mr. Matakane, give us a sense, looking forward, what long-term goals should civil society organizations aim to ensure sustained progress but development in South Africa's democratic and socio-economic landscape?
We, as civil society, I think we must come together because, you know, when we talk together here, more or less, we are talking of the same thing differently. Because the very child that we are discussing is the very same child that comes from that shack. It's the very same child that comes from undeveloped area or and all those. So together, then I think we have to work together so that when we challenge the government, we are a collective approach to what really we need, so that our voice becomes so big that we shall challenge the government to ensure that now they address the needs, particularly of the poorest of the poor, as I said. Because when you hear Nkande, then the poorest of the poor, if you go to those in Jondolo, then you'll find that now the poorest of the poor people are staying there, and which, as I earlier on said, then when this government Quintalize was trying to address that very question of the poorest of the poor who are staying in those Mijondolo. But in those Mijondolo, we still have our children who come from those Mijondolo. Hence, we are saying to avoid this Mijondolo in future for these children, give them quality education. They will not go back to those areas where they stayed.
Thank you so much for your time. That is Matakane Matakane, of course, speaking to us in his capacity as General Secretary of the National Association of School Governing Bodies. A big thank you as well to Sbusi Kote, the leader of Abahlali baseMjondolo, giving us their perspective as we look at the crucial role of civil society organizations as we look ahead to this seventh administration being formed. And again, life scenes in the National Assembly, it would seem that things are moving quite swiftly as a number of MPs or members of different political parties have already made their oath. Let's go to news right now. Here's Rishokech.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.